Welcome to Austin on the Air, candid conversations about air filtration and air quality and the impact it has on children and adults at school, work, and home.
So just to start, would you like to give us your name and your role, what you do?
My name is Frank Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L. I'm the president of Professional Forest Management LLC, which does business as Wildfire Pros. And for the last almost 12 years now, and really starting in 2007 or before, my people and I have been involved in wildfire forensics, wildfire mitigation, wildfire planning, prescribed burning, all kinds of aspects related to wildfire practice and policy. And so we've developed long expertise over the, you know, probably 150 years of combined experience that four of us have with these issues. So we deal with wildfire issues quite extensively.
Okay. So I'm just going to start with, just to kind of give some context to our listeners, if you want to start with what public health dangers wildfire smoke poses.
Wildfire smoke is extremely dangerous, especially the closer you are to the source, the worse it is. And by way of illustration on that, if you're on a fire line, when I was on fire lines when I was younger, and actually cutting fire line, when the wind would shift direction and the smoke from the fire would wash over us, it would blind us, it would disorient us, it would make it impossible for us to work. We'd have to struggle to find clean air, usually by dropping to the ground and, you know, trying to find a hole that we could stick our face into and hope that the smoke went by. And so if you can imagine millions of acres burning on fire, say in California on a summer day, and the heat in the valley being 100 plus degrees, and then the smoke pouring into San Francisco and being locked in among the hills, and just sitting in there on top of the city, it's an extremely difficult problem. And it's a problem that's gotten worse in recent years all across the country. It causes immune deficiency syndrome in people. It attacks the cells that attack viruses and cancers and so on. It really causes asthma. Many people, about 20,000 people a year die in California just from the effects of wildfire smoke, according to the California governor, Gavin Newsom. And in the last 5 years, smoke residence time in places like San Francisco has markedly grown. And in part, it's because of the way we're fighting fire now. We are using wildfires to manage natural resources by purposefully burning or allowing wildfires to burn. And so big fires like the Dixie Fire at 1 million acres, have a long, long residence time and pour smoke into Lake Tahoe and all kinds of locations where we don't really want smoke.
Okay. So do you want to kind of go a little bit more in depth on both the short-term and long-term effects to the health of people that are in the proximity of wildfire smoke?
Well, there's a range of effects to people in the close proximity to wildfire smoke, or even in during long residence times, where you're in San Francisco or wherever you are, and or Salt Lake City, and smoke is pouring in every day, and it's enough, you know, it's not so thick that you're blinded, but it's so thick that it's harder to breathe, and your eyes are irritated, and so on. And so irritation of the eyes and the throat and nose is quite common. Coughing and wheezing is also common, and, you know, a big problem. Chest pain and difficulty breathing. Those are the things that I've mentioned so far, the reasons that emergency rooms are seeing so many people during the summer fire season. Headaches and dizziness are quite common. Wildfire smoke is very acrid. The smell has a tendency to make some people very sick. And it can be overwhelming. And because of the nature of wildfire smoke, which is made up of different sizes of small particles, and gases and so on, asthma and other respiratory problems are worsened. So people, you know, especially people that have any kind of childhood asthma or adult onset asthma, deal with that problem. And in fact, adult as onset asthma can be triggered by wildfire smoke. So it's been a dangerous problem. For example, wildfire smoke impairs immune cell function. And so we have immune cells in our bodies that that do a wonderful job of kind of sorting out and attacking and getting rid of cancer cells and inflammation cells that are inflamed and disease cells and so on. But when those various kinds of cells are overwhelmed by smoke, they don't function very well. And because they don't, then the smoke has compounding effects to the human body. And because of that, the smoke then actually increases our susceptibility to inflammation and illness. And the kind of illness, anything that has to do with breathing or the entire cardiovascular system, including heart problems. And for people that have chronic health conditions already, as we saw with COVID-19, and people that would have COVID-19 would be an example. Wildfire smoke really exacerbates those problems. I'd also like to say that wildfire smoke is a necessary part of forest management. We're going to have wildfires, we're going to have smoke, but whatever we can do to mitigate those effects of wildfire smoke is a net positive benefit for everybody. And so it's a fact of life, but we have to find ways to deal with it.
Okay. So what should the recovery process look like, whether it's for a company or an individual landowner?
So, there's kind of a step process to wildfire recovery. And the recovering from a wildfire is really difficult. And what I mean by that is when especially these large killing wildfires come through and burn 40 acres of someone's property, or they burn down their house, or they burn the mountainside all around the valley where somebody lives, the net effect of that is very difficult for more than a decade until things start to settle down. And what happens is the vegetation is killed in many instances. In many cases it's not, but it quite often is, especially in bad fires. And the root systems rot. In time, the trees rot and fall down. The hillsides fail during heavy rains in the spring and fall of the year. You have post-fire flooding that comes down and brings all kinds of debris and ash and so on into the picture. And so the very first thing that people need to do is adopt what we think of as a systematic procedural approach to wildfire recovery. And the first step is to do a damage assessment. And one of the things that we do, our expertise is, part of our expertise is in wildfire impact assessment. What did the fire do? What did it affect? How much is it going to cost? What do people need to do to recover from the situation? And the kind of the second thing, it's like any mess, if you drop a bottle of milk on the floor and it blows up everywhere, you got to kind of look at it and see what happened, and then you got to get the mops and mop it up. And it's the same way post-fire. You have to clean up the debris. There are dead trees around. There are places, whole areas that used to capture water and keep rainwater from flooding you out are now changed. And you have post-fire flooding effects and so on. Those things have to be cleaned up. Every place that you were used to going on your property, or things that you were used to doing, or the condition of your house or your footing and so on, those things all change after a wildfire, and they have to be mitigated, understood, mitigated, and then repaired somehow. And so there's a lot of work involved, which includes replanting vegetation when the fire goes by. One of the first things people need to do is not plant the grass you get from from the hardware store, but plant native species of various grasses and so on to help restore the land. And then a big piece of that after you've assessed the damage and you've performed the cleanup and you've replanted vegetation and so on is you've got to restore water. One of the things that people don't think about is that a wildfire burning across a large area or even a small area affects the way water flows. It can destroy irrigation ditches or irrigation pipes and water areas that were used to capture water in the past. It can change what happens with springs, natural springs, and so on. So water sources have to be restored. And then, you know, it's a big fight. Wildfires are what we refer to as a major disturbance factor, meaning they disturb everything that they burn across, including people in their homes and vegetation on the land, ancient forests. You may have seen that fires in California have now killed in the last decade more than 20% of the redwood, or I'm sorry, the giant sequoias in that state. And again, part of that is a function of how we're fighting fire now. Because we're encouraging fires to burn, we're killing trees we didn't want to kill. And that's creating smoke we didn't want to create, and that's creating impacts that are making it difficult for people.
Okay. So can you give some specific examples of areas where air quality might be deteriorating because of wildfire smoke?
You know, there's a number of areas around the world. Before I go to that, let me also talk about companies a little bit. Is that appropriate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, when a wildfire burns through a community and it has all these health effects and all these impacts on people and so on, companies are also affected. I remember in Santa Paula, California, in 2017 or 18, a large fire burning through there hopped through the outskirts of the town. And it burned a tire store, and it burned a McDonald's, and it burned a Tesla dealership, and it burned things that you wouldn't necessarily think of. And so it's not just individuals, but also companies. And companies have an important role in this also, as, for example, at Paradise, California, and the campfire, where all the companies and the residents and so on were burned to the ground. So companies need to support their employees because these are really traumatic situations that people lose their homes and so on. And so companies have to take those things into account. There's also the workplace recovery, sometimes rebuilding the store or the plant or whatever it is to bring things back. And then to help everybody with what's called a business continuity plan. How do we pull everything back together and make this town work again once it's been burned to the ground? And then companies are in a unique position quite often to help with community recovery. They can donate supplies, they can donate expertise, they can bring in the kind of help that people need to make everything work out in the end. So wildfire recovery is a long and challenging process for individuals and companies. But we can do it, and we do it often. And people living in the Western United States in particular are going to keep doing it as long as we live in the wildlands.
So bouncing back to my other question, what are some areas where air quality is deteriorating because of wildfire smoke?
The Intermountain West and the Western U.S. in general is made up of fairly large north-south oriented mountain ranges. And those mountain ranges are behind Salt Lake City and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco. There's a big range there, and the coastal ranges and so on. And air temperature and air weather factors and the environmental factors tend to hold air in places in things called inversions. So in the early morning when people wake up in a big city like Salt Lake City and they get out and they get ready to go to work, quite often the air is terrible from either smoke or just pollutants or dust or whatever it is, because the air is held into place. And many of our biggest cities across the West are in that situation, subject to inversions. And so I've been in California at the height of fire season many times in my career and been into the big cities when smoke is pouring into the cities. And quite often the visibility is so hampered, it's almost impossible to operate. And of course, the smoke is very irritating. San Francisco is increasingly making the news because of that. So is Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe was famous for its three, you know, their motto was 365 days of clean air and clean water, or blue skies, 365 days, blue skies. And now they estimate that maybe 8 months a year, they're impacted by smoke from wildfires and prescribed fires pouring into the Tahoe Basin. And that has a further deleterious effect because the smoke pouring into the basin also carries with it all these particulates. There's ash, there's, all kinds of chemicals and so on that fall into the water and are impacting the quality of the water at Lake Tahoe, a pristine lake that you can see down for dozens of feet to the bottom. So there are also places around the world. I mean, Sydney, Australia is practically obliterated in their January fire season by the smoke that floods in there. Same in Indonesia and other parts of the country, the other parts of the planet. The Amazon rainforest caught on fire a few years ago, and Amazonia was basically inundated with smoke for months and months at a time. So wildfire smoke affects everybody significantly everywhere.
Okay. So my final question is, what role does air purification play in all this?
So air purification is a mitigating defense against the smoke problems that we encounter. And by that, I mean that many people do live in wildland urban interfaces. I live in a small town called Pueblo, Colorado. And in the summertime, when there's fires burning in Arizona, New Mexico, California, Nevada, and so on, my skies are not clear. They're covered with smoke. And so we have air conditioning. We have air conditioning in our cars. And, you know, one of the key things you can do is air purification in your home with air purifiers, air purification in businesses so that your electronics and so on are not impacted. And just so you can live a healthier, you know, live healthier, fight the inflammation that comes, fight the post-asthmatic symptoms and so on. If you can somehow purify the air and air condition the air so it's cool and you're comfortable, and then stay inside. The unfortunate piece of that is staying inside. But air purification is a really important tool that we have to help mitigate the effects of smoke.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Austin on the Air. For more information on air filtration, air quality, and respiratory health, visit austinair.com.